Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With you for about another 55 minutes, and got a Padres pin pals coming your way here shortly. Just watching this first game of the Big Three experiment. Cavs had been leading this game pretty much all game, up to as many as 13. That lead has now been trimmed to 3 points. Uh-oh. And about 5 minutes remaining, all of a sudden, a couple step-back threes from Harden, a couple turnovers here. KD hits a bucket. Starting to see in the closing minutes of the game who's going to be the ones taking the shots. It looks like it could be KD and Harden, but
must be nice to be able to give the ball to Kyrie Irving, and if he's not open, give the ball to James Harden, and if he's not open, give the ball to Kevin Durant.
Right. All three of those options are live and in effect right now.
Yes, so they all work, and Harden, who had 0 points a couple seconds before halftime, now has a nice night going on for 13 points, 3 of 4 on threes, and he's got 7 assists, as you said, Tony, kind of leading the way in terms of distributing the basketball. Kyrie Irving is still taking a bunch of the shots, but he's having a good night, 10 of 15 from the floor. So
it was a very interesting debate yesterday before we get into this pin pals with the TNT crew. Shaq, Charles, and Kenny were having a discussion who was the better player, Harden or Irving. And after listening to Charles and Kenny, I think they got it right. Harden's the better player. If you think about it, Harden has made guys around him better since he was in Houston. I mean, Capano, the center that they had there, I think he got $100 million after playing with Harden.
Oh, Capella.
Capella, excuse me.
Yeah.
Tucker, he also got a big payday after playing with Harden. There have been a lot of guys that have made careers out of playing with Harden. I don't know if you can say that about any of the guys Kyrie's played with. Now, obviously, he played with LeBron James, but it seemed like he didn't make things better in Boston. He actually made them worse.
Yeah. James Harden, I can't stand saying nice things about him, but right now, just because of the way he acted, and he's at least on double secret probation in my mind for a while. But having said that, I mean, this guy's spectacular. The way he handles the basketball, he kind of mesmerizes everybody out there.
He does. He does.
He just does. I mean, the between the leg, the step back, the drive, the traveling move that he's got, and he's got about
the
four
Euro
of those.
Step.
He's got about four traveling moves. He's got so many traveling moves, the refs don't know what to call, so they just don't call anything. But his shooting is just ridiculous. Now, Kyrie Irving is a sensational slasher and a sensational shooter as well. But I agree with you, Tony. I think Harden does the job of making everybody around him a little bit better. Irving could probably outscore him on this team just because I agree with you. I think Harden will be willing to take more of a relaxed role, at least for now, since he's kind of the last of the three to join the group. But
not only that, he's kind of the last of the three. Like, he's the one that hasn't tasted championship success yet. So he should be the one willing to sacrifice more, quite frankly.
Yeah. No, that's true. I mean, when you're going ahead and saying that James Harden's better than Kyrie Irving, you do have to remember that Kyrie Irving, won that championship over a pretty great Golden State Warrior team.
It's not great like he beat, team.
Yeah, it's not like he beat some chumps. I mean, he beat about as good a team as you could possibly be. But I've always felt if I had to have one of the two, I would take Harden, but the two of them are both kooks. Yeah. Let's be honest about that. They're both a little nuts. So, got to deal with that.
All right, Scrape. I think we're ready for your Padres pen pal. Let's get to it.
It's time to ask the experts, Padres fans.
I was hoping maybe you can bring a little insight into it.
Write us, tweet us, Facebook us, send a carrier pigeon for Chris. He thinks they're cute. Aww. Padres Pen Pals begins.
Hurt the pelota big time.
Now, on 97.3 The Fan.
I love that we're doing Padres Pen Pals now, and we actually, like, have some good stuff to talk about, because we've done some Padres Pen Pals before where we didn't have much to talk about, but I always appreciate the listeners and the fans sending me questions. And today we got some good questions, we got some interesting questions, we got some interesting names too. So let's get started. Our first Padres pen pal is from Ciro the Hero. I like him, Ciro the Hero. Chris, you're gonna be up first on this one.
Wait, his name is really Ciro the Hero?
Ciro.
Oh, Ciro.
Like, you remember that guy we used to work with, Ciro? Like that.
Yeah,
like that.
Well, it's funny, Ciro the Hero is something my youngest son works on in class. Like, they learn about 70s, 80s, 90s, and
wow.
Ciro the Hero, yeah.
What is Ciro the Hero?
It's like it's the start of the new number, right? He comes in, he saves.
Oh!
Yeah.
Come on, Scraby, learn your little fourth grade
math. Learn your TK school, man. Let's go.
Yeah, I don't think Tony's son's even in fourth grade yet, but...
No, he's in TK. He's not even in kindergarten.
he's not even in kindergarten.
He's in TK. What is that?
It's like basically like pre-kindergarten. It's like the grade before kindergarten.
Is this just another... I'm not saying you personally, but I'm saying, is this just another way for parents to get the kids out of the house?
No. This is actual real schoolwork, and I know this is because I have to sit in the class with him.
Oh, what?
And help him do his stuff. Yes.
Oh, heck,
he's
no.
Five. You can't sit a five-year-old in front of a computer and say, hey, stay here and don't move for the next 2.5 hours. Like, it doesn't work that way.
Man, that's pretty brutal, though.
Can I just say one thing about the youngster, Trey Gwynn? I've never face-to-face met him, but every time I've seen a little snippet of him on the Zoom screen, he's one of the funniest kids I've ever seen.
Yeah, I agree. He's always trying.
Just absolutely is.
He's always trying to pull a fast one on you, Tony. He's always like,
he's always trying to con you for a little more.
He's
computer
like,
time.
Yeah, for more iPad time. I can't even tell you how many times in the last like year that I've heard Trey come in and you'd be like, "Nuh-uh, your iPad time is done," and he'll be like,
"Yeah."
But I have, like, five more minutes. You're like, nope.
Didn't you know that every kid in the world starts out as a lawyer? And then some of them actually grow up to be one.
They honestly do. Especially this kid. He's already got the negotiating thing down pat, for sure.
Yeah, he's a funny kid. He's a funny kid. All right, Ciro the Hero. Chris, you're up first. Padres pen pals. If Denelson Lamet is healthy, and I agree with Chris, this is what he's saying, I agree with Chris with what he said last week. Stop attaching rumors. He's hurt. Let the guy prepare in peace. But I want to know, out of the guys currently in the rotation, Darvish, Snell, Lamet, Musgrove, and Paddock/Morahone, who has the best chance to bring home the Padres' first no-hitter? Chris.
Jeez. No-hitters are such an arbitrary thing. You think you know which guy would be most likely to do it, but then you see some of the guys that pitch no-hitters, and they're never the aces of the staff. Not never, but they're oftentimes not the ace of the staff. Musgrove can have no-hit stuff. I mean, he throws a lot of swing-and-miss pitches. Lamet seems like the obvious answer, so I'll just go with him. But, God, Paddock's got no-hit stuff from time to time, too, and it's been close. He's been 6-7 innings. Lamet's been there. I'll just say Lamet. I don't have a good explanation.
I was going to say, where are you going with that?
I don't know where to go with that because it's such an arbitrary thing. I just hope it happens someday.
I should have looked this up beforehand. Has you, Darvish, ever thrown a no-hitter?
No.
Okay.
But that's who my pick is.
You, Darvish?
You, Darvish. He's got no-hit stuff like every night. It's just a matter of can he locate it the way he needs to. Like, he has that kind of stuff. It's that explosive where if there's going to be one, I think it'll be Yu Darvish.
He's taken one into the deep ninth inning against the Red Sox, and David Ortiz broke it up.
By the way, if we get to the top of the ninth, two outs, no hitter, you guys got to call Uncle Teddy and let him in on the call.
Oh, for sure.
Uncle Ted, you want to hop in here real quick, man?
Yeah, Uncle Teddy, get in here for a quick call. He deserves it.
Yes.
He's been waiting 41 years for a no-hitter.
So, Tony, your pick is Yu Darvish.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you, Ciro the Hero. Next, Padres pen pal, we have Raul in Mission Valley. Tony, you're up first on this one. Quick and to the point. Which guy on the roster do you think has the most to prove in 2021?
Tommy Pham.
Good one.
Not that he has something to prove in terms of his ability. I think we recognize his ability, but him staying on the field this year, healthy. The Padres gained from Pham from the standpoint of his mentality offensively, how he, you know, is a surgeon with the strike zone in terms of picking out pitches to take and picking out pitches to swing. You saw the Padres adapt that mentality, but they didn't get the benefit from it from him personally because he was injured and battled injuries all season long. So I think he's probably got the most to prove on this roster.
Chris, who do you think has the most to prove on the 2021 Padres roster?
I don't know if you guys have talked about this guy yet. Tommy Pham? No, I thought of the exact same guy. So, I mean, same reasons as Tony. I think that a lot of people here in San Diego don't realize how good he is. And I think Tony realizes how good he is. And I think that the Padres know how good he is. But I think a lot of Padre fans don't think he's that great. Because they saw him last year and he was hurt and he wasn't playing up to his level of potential. So I would say he's the guy with the most to prove, because I think if he plays just normal Tommy Pham, everyone's going to be blown away by that here.
Right.
All right. Thank you, Raul from Mission Valley. Our next Padres pen pal will be – oh, I love this name. Let me give the question first because it has to do with it. And they started this with, in all caps, I can't wait for us to see some baseball this season! ! I think everybody feels the same way. They go on to say, I know we have talked Chris Paddock a lot, but I just don't see a spot for him. Why am I giving up on him? And that's from Billy the Idol Animal in San Diego. Because Chris Paddock has his idol animal tattooed on his arm. So I really get it. Billy
we
the
got
Idol
it,
Animal.
Okay, Scrape. Thank you.
But Billy Idol's part of that too? I thought it was brilliant. I fell off
we
my chair.
We got it, Scrape.
Fell off my chair when I saw that. Chris, you're up first. Why is he giving up on
First of all, get back up on your chair so I can answer the question.
Okay, I'm back.
All right. Why is he giving up on Chris Paddock?
Yes.
Because... I mean, I wouldn't give up on Chris Paddock yet. I mean, he had a bad year. I mean, just the same reason I guess guys are giving up on Tua. I mean, have a couple of bad games. It's what have you done for me lately? That's all people look at. Chris Paddock's still a young pitcher, still learning. So as long as Chris Paddock doesn't give up on Chris Paddock, I'm not really worried about Billy the Idol Maker.
Billy the Idol Animal.
Yeah, that guy.
Idol Maker.
Giving up on him. So. Chris Paddock's definitely one of the five guys in the starting rotation, at least going into spring training. But that's the great thing about this Padre team. They're so deep. He's going to have to prove that he gets a spot, and that's the way it should be. But I'm not ready to give up on him, and I don't think he's ready to give up on him either. So, Billy the Idol Man.
Get it right. It's Billy the Idol Animal. Jeez.
I can't get it right because I'm on the floor. I fell off my chair.
He fell off his chair. Tony, why is Billy the Idol Animal giving up on Chris Paddock?
Well, because he had a bad year last year. I don't necessarily think that that's a reason to give up on him, but that's clearly why, because he couldn't be comparing it to the year before where he was almost a rookie of the year. So I think that, you know, we have short memories, as we've talked about on this show, and the last memories they have of Chris is him not having a very successful 2020. I think, as I said before, I think we would be fools to give up on him at this point. So we'll see what happens.
All right. Thank you, Billy the Idol Animal. Best name we've had so far in Padres Pen Pals.
Billy the Idol Guy?
Chris, if you don't get it right, we're going to have to go get Billy the Idol Animal on the phone so he can teach you, because that is a brilliant name. This last one,
put him on there with the Bushman.
Bushman, we haven't talked about him in a while.
This was from At Rising Tides, and just to let you know, when they sent this to me, I immediately wrote back to them, and I said, you know, the guys are probably going to say this is stupid. And he said, it's okay, I want to know anyway. And so this is what he's asking. Tony, you talked about the pressure Jace Tingler is going to be under this year. Do you think he gets fired if they don't make the playoffs in 2021?
No. I don't get that sense at all. I don't. This team, although it's built to win right now, I don't know that you fire him after this year. That could look a lot different at the end of the season, though. You know, it really depends on what the season looks like. You know.
Yeah.
If they run away with a division with the Dodgers in it, and advanced into the playoffs a little bit, I don't know that that's a fireable. You got to be careful once you start getting a team that gets into the playoffs and you're still firing managers. We watched the Nationals do that for a couple years, where they fired, I think it was Dusty Baker after winning the division and losing to the Dodgers in like a game five. They did the same thing with Matt Williams the year before that. So I'm not. You get to the playoffs, a lot of times it is about who's performing, and I don't know that coaches necessarily have a whole impact on that.
All right, Chris, do you think Jace Tingler has a chance to get fired if they don't make the playoffs this year?
Oh, if they don't make the playoffs
at all? Don't make the playoffs.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Oh, I missed that part. If they don't make the playoffs, it's a maybe.
Okay.
For me.
Chris?
No, I don't think he has a chance to get fired.
All right.
He'd have to, if he goes 60 and 102, then I'll go fire.
That would be pretty bad.
But, yeah, I don't think, you know, 77 and 85. I mean, it sounds like that would be a fireable season, but you don't know what would all go into a season that turned out like that.
It could be injuries.
You also have to take into account that we don't know what the playoffs is going to look like. Like, there was expanded playoffs last year.
Good point, too.
You know, they, if it goes back to normal, I just, in all likelihood, no.
How come we're a month away from baseball and we still don't know a lot of the major rules of the game?
That's the MLB way, baby. That's the way to it last second.
Oh, all right. Thank you to At Rising Tides, At Raul. Oh, no, not At Raul, just Raul, Mission Valley, Ciro the Hero, and our guy, Billy the Idol Animal, Padres Ben Pals.
All right, guys.
Real quick before I take us to break here, this game is down to the wire. Nets, Cavs, 113-113. Cavs lose the ball with about 6 seconds left, and guess who had the ball at the end of the last possession?
Last possession.
Yeah, give me a guess.
James Hart.
Give me who's Kyrie Irving, and he might have got an offensive foul, and it looks like it's going back to the Cavaliers. So,
So maybe overtime.
Oh, never mind. The Nets challenged it and won it, so they'll get the ball with 1.5 seconds. We'll see how it goes.
A challenge. Let's get to
break. They challenge.
I don't understand challenging in the NBA. I don't like it.
You know what? I see if I can explain it to you when we come back.
Thank you.
Scrape, are we doing what are we doing here in this next seg?
Oh, well, you're going to do that. You're going to explain to Chris about the challenges.
After that.
And then you guys are going to give your quick thoughts on who's a better rotation, the Dodgers or the Padres.
Boom. Dodgers, Padres, which rotation is better? Plus, I explained to Chris the challenge system in the NBA. Gwen and Chris Sanigo's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Here's the Fan's traffic report from the Valley View Casino and Hotel Traffic Center.
All right, 6:24 is the time. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Gwen and Chris, back at you, 97.3 The Fan. So Kyrie Irving drives to the basket with 2 seconds to go in the game, picks up a charging foul, offensive foul. Ball going to go back to Cleveland for a chance to win the game, only Brooklyn challenges the offensive foul call.
Yes.
And it's overturned, which leads to a jump ball at center court and basically takes away either team's chances to win the game in the end.
Correct.
Tony, do we like the challenge call in the NBA? And do they honestly realize how tough it is to make a block charge call and even make one when you look at it on replay?
The answer to that last question is yes, I do think they understand how difficult it is, which is why they are okay with this system and how it's done. So you mentioned Kyrie kind of with his offhand hits Sexton in the face. At the same time, Sexton is reaching for the ball and misses and hits his leg. So I'm not quite sure because I had the volume down as we were on the show, so I don't know exactly how the ruling went.
Right.
But generally, they go back, they look at the call. If there's no offensive foul, they're going to jump it because really it's nobody's possession at that point. So
I just think it's so difficult to make a call in the first place. And then it seems like to me it's just as hard to call it after you look at the replay.
I think because it can work in the NBA only because they only allow the one challenge. Like, you get your one challenge. If you get it, great. It's almost, as we've watched it kind of unfold and the strategy behind it, you almost are better off waiting until the fourth quarter to ever use anything like it, because that's when the possessions are at their most premium. So makes sense.
I can understand challenging whether a guy's out of bounds or whether it's a three-pointer, something that's actually a black and white issue.
Right.
But a block charge call is – it's not a black and white issue even on replay. So
sometimes
it just seems so difficult to ask the refs to go over and rule on that. But that's what they're
doing. But once again, like in all the other sports that we have replay, they get it right more often than they get it wrong. Way more often.
All right, the Nets and the Cavs are in overtime right now. Kyrie's got 33. Durant's got now 34. And Harden's just content with his 17, and Brooklyn's got the lead by 5 in overtime, at least from my, according to my box score.
Your couple box of minutes score, they're up 3 now.
All right. Padres, Dodgers, who's got the better starting rotation? Well, according to Jeff Passan, the Dodgers are monitoring the market for right-hander Trevor Bauer, and could be a player, depending on the price, sources telling ESPN. Focus for the Dodgers now remains on a right-handed infield bat. Remember, they wanted DJ LeMahieu, but he's now with the Yankees. But Bauer and the Dodgers remain a possibility as his market develops. That scares me, Tony. I got to be honest with you, because right now I think the two rotations are pretty equal.
Yeah.
But if Trevor Bauer goes to the Dodgers and pushes Dustin May into a medium to long relief role, or Urias to a medium to long relief role, I mean, Kershaw, Buehler, and Bauer would be just as scary as Snell, Darvish, and Lamet. Would you agree?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Short answer is yeah. And again, I don't know that it makes them better from the standpoint. It would make the Dodgers better from the standpoint as it just gives them more depth. You know, I think you still feel pretty good matched up 1 through 4, 1 through 5 even. But now they have a better 6, a better 7. You know, it just slides everything down a little bit. So,
yeah,
this is
like
one of those
off-seasons. Tony Gonsolin would be their number 8 guy.
Right, right, right. We saw him up close and personal last year.
Yeah, we know how good he can be.
And for me, you know, it's one of those off seasons where you could totally see some. This is lining up to be an off season like 2 years ago, right? When Manny Machado came on board, or is it almost 3 years ago now? When Manny comes on board after spring training is already up and running. He was one of the biggest chips on the board.
Yeah.
That's exactly kind of where we're headed now. Springer comes off yesterday. I won't be surprised at all if we are still having signings like up to pitchers and catchers reporting. If not, maybe after in some cases.
I think right now the Padres rotation just looks a little more, I don't know, just a little more solid than the Dodgers. Not a lot.
I like the Padres. Right now, I like the Padres' rotation better.
Yeah, Snell, Darvish, Musgrove. Lamet's still a question mark because he's, you know, the injury. Paddock's a question. But if you look at the Dodgers, I mean, Kershaw is a bit of a question just because he's getting on in his career. I think Buehler is the one solid guy you know for sure is just going to be pretty much awesome every time out. Urias was a fantastic guy at the end of the World Series last year, But I still have questions on his ability to be a consistent starter. Same for Dustin May. And then David Price has to be just as big a question mark as Denelson Lamet does, not because of injury, but he didn't even pitch at all last year.
Yeah, I don't know that time off has ever been a negative thing for a pitcher.
I don't know, is it or not? I mean, taking a whole year off, that could be – I don't know if it is or not because not too many guys have ever done it.
That's
right. How many guys have just taken how many guys have just taken a year off? Well, I'm very healthy, but I'm going to go ahead and take the year off.
Doesn't happen very often. That's a good point. I think that the David Price thing is like the biggest wild card, right? Because that right. Dodger team was good. All of a sudden, you add a David Price to the mix. If it's the David Price that won a Cy Young Award, or that was good for a long period.
Oh, if it's that guy, then the Padres are in trouble.
That puts them in a good spot. So, listen, Trevor Bauer added to that mix. I don't know that that's the best thing, but I still like this rotation for the Padres. You know.
Oh yeah.
As right now, this is the better rotation.
Dodgers is good. Padres can compete with anybody. That's for sure.
Yep. Yep.
All right. Did you get a final on the Brooklyn-Cleveland game yet? This game is – we're keeping people far too up to date on this game, but I figure we've taken people this long, we might as well tell them who wins.
18 seconds left. One of those travels that you talked about didn't get called by James Harden. He went to the free throw line instead. He put him up three with 18 seconds. They're in a timeout.
125-122, Cleveland's got the ball. We'll take a timeout, come back, have our interview of the day, and let you in on who wins this game with the Big Three experiment in Brooklyn. Next, Gwynn and Chris on 97.3 The Fan.
.638 on the clock as we wind down to the end of the show. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello. Looks like this Big Three experience headed into double overtime. Both teams.
It's funny that we're talking about this game that nobody should care about, but it's like turning into one of the greatest NBA games of all time.
It is turning. I mean, it's a game that should, quite frankly, be a blowout with the three dudes Brooklyn has, but it's been nothing but that, and they're headed into their third overtime. This hour is brought to you by San Diego County Land Rover Retailers, introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender. Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the Year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your San Diego County Land Rover retailer today. Land Rover, above and beyond. Before we get to our interview of the day, we do need to check some traffic. Here's the Fans Traffic Report from the Valley View Casino and Hotel Traffic Center. Wait, seriously, this is a serious question. I'm not joking around. Do we have more ladders in the middle of our highways than anybody else in the country? I feel like that we hear about it every day.
Have you done any study, Scrape?
No, but every time we have a guest on, they hear about the ladder, they have to comment. So it tells me that they haven't heard about ladders in their area.
Okay.
Okay. It is unbelievable.
It does. I mean, every other day, it feels like somebody loses a ladder on one of our major highways. So, guys, we got to figure out how to tie these things down a little bit better here. All right, interview of the day, Marcus McNeil, one of Philip Rivers' teammates in the past, blocked for on his blind side, had some tremendous stories about Philip. Plus, he's on Two Pros in the Joe podcast with our guy Matt Scraby. Here he is right here talking about Philip Rivers as a teammate and his thoughts just on his career.
One of my all-time favorite guys to interview as a San Diego Charger. Fun-loving, always classy, always available, always good with his time, and always had something fun to say, and a pretty good blocker as well. The pride of the University of Auburn Tigers, Mr. Marcus McNeil, joins the program here on 97.3 The Fan. Does a podcast right now called Two Pros and a Joe. He works with Greg Camarillo, and the Joe in question is Matt Scraby. Marcus, let me congratulate you for being able to get through that on a weekly basis.
Hey, I appreciate it, man. I might have to bring you to a coordination or two because I like the way you introduced me. You made me feel nice and important.
Yeah, well, you were always one of my favorite guys when I was in the locker room trying to track down an interview, and I remember it and appreciate it very much. I'm assuming Philip Rivers remembers you and appreciates you very much, protecting his blind side all those years. What were some of your thoughts today when you heard about his retirement?
Man, you know, Boys to Men popped in my head, man. You know, that old school Boys to Men, you know, although we go to the end of the road, man, you know, and I knew it was the end of the road for my boy, but you know, he just had such a great career, man, and, you know, some of the people that he's up there with are some of the greatest quarterbacks that you're ever going to know in the NFL, and he's right there alongside of him, you know. So, man, I just got so much love for that guy, man. I just appreciate him. I love him, his family, everything that he does, you know. So I was proud, a little bit of sad at the same time that we'll see him go. But, you know, just ready to welcome to the other side, you know.
Marcus, we've been debating people calling in today as we been talking about Philip Rivers and his Hall of Fame, what we feel like is a Hall of Fame career. For those that who only got a chance to see Philip and him barking at the other team, what would you tell those people in terms of what he was like on the field and how good he was?
Man, he hands down probably the best quarterback I've been around. You know, between him, watching him and Tom Brady up close in my career personally just lets me know how elite of a quarterback he was. And he was till this year. You know, he could throw the ball. He was a monster competitor. You know, he ran the field like a general at the same time. So when you have those aspects as a quarterback, you can really win. And he proved that he could do that year in and year out.
Marcus, you blocked for his blind side. Can you share any fun stories with Philip Rivers, or was there such a thing as a fun story if your guy ever got past you and got a piece of Philip Rivers on a particular play in a game? He was so competitive, I imagine he probably gave you the evil eye.
Oh, man. Hey, I'm telling you, watching him just kind of have a breakdown in the huddle was comedy in itself, you know. it would almost seem like he had steam coming out of his ears, and he would get so worked up, you know what I mean? And if things weren't going exactly the way that he wanted it to go, and he was just that type of guy, man. But I think my favorite play of mine with his is when I was blocking Dwight Freeney. And we all know he had a mean spin move on him. So
yeah.
I'm sitting there trying my best to keep up with the spin move, and all I can do is just – he spinned off of me so smooth, I turned with him. And I ended up just boxing him out like I used to in basketball. But now Philip is sitting right there in my face, and I'm looking at him like, hey, this isn't how this is supposed to go. Throw it. Throw it. And I just started screaming, throw it. So he ends up chugging it down the field real quick. And he's like, who was that? And I was like, hey, man, Philip, that was me. He was like, bro, you can't tell me just to throw the ball. I was like, hey, it was either me or you. You know what I'm saying? And I'd rather it be me.
That's funny. That is a terrific story. Talk to me about this, because I've heard a lot from – seen a lot from some of the young guys that came into the locker room that got a chance to be Phillip's teammate. Melvin Gordon pops to mind. He had a nice post about it. Was he the type of guy that kind of embraced the young guys a little bit?
He definitely was. As soon as I came in right as Drew Brees was leaving out of San Diego, and it was Phillip's time to take the reins. And when he came in, he just came in with a certain level of class, and even though he wasn't that much older than me, he felt like a veteran from the day he took the field. He felt like he was already a starter, you know. So he kind of had that about himself, but because he was so young and we were a young team, he knew how to relate to us, you know. the best thing I know about Phillip Rivers is that when I first started playing for the team, he was like, hey, I know who Outkast is. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm from the dirty South. You know what I mean? So I'm like, what you know about Outkast, Phillip? But, you know, it was that playfulness and that energy that made you feel comfortable to just go out there and compete as a young player and not really get caught up too much on, you know, how long you've been here or this guy over here is supposed to be, you know, all this, all world, all that. You know, we just came out there to compete.
Marcus, did you ever want to tell him just to go ahead and let it ride and just let a swear word slip out? It was okay.
We tried our best, you know what I'm saying? Phillip's that one guy who, like, it's hard to poke at his armor, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's solid all the way around, you know? And you know, he's so crafty, and he isn't scared of debate. He isn't scared of an argument. He's not scared to let you know how he feels, especially when he's fired up. So, like, he knows what he's doing, you know? So he it's like he's almost pushing buttons. He can push your button quicker than you might be able to push his. So it kind of kept you from being able to kind of back him into a corner, cause, per se.
But he was a great trash talker out on the field still, right? I mean, that was one of his great attributes was his ability to talk trash. I can't believe anybody would want to talk trash to somebody like Dwight Freeney or any of those guys.
It didn't matter, man. It didn't matter. You line them up, we're going to knock them down. So that's how we came out on the field. That's how he approached the game. And to be honest, I love a quarterback like that. You know, I don't want somebody who's going to be timid, because if you're timid, you're going to be timid in that pocket. And I just need you confident and ready to go. You know, he was a part of it. Oh, man, he was a part of it all. And he didn't back down from nowhere. I loved it.
Phil, let me ask you this about Phillip, because obviously he did get a chance to get to that Super Bowl. And that seems to be the one thing that is going to end up being left off his Super Bowl. In terms of Hall of Fame, is that can't be the only qualification, because I mean, obviously the argument today has been, well, you know, Manning, Eli got one, Ben Roethlisberger got one, but Phillip didn't get one. Should that even matter?
It doesn't matter, and I'm gonna go back to one of my all-time favorite quarterbacks, Dan Marino. Dan Marino never ended up with that championship either. But if you ask people, you know, probably before Breeze and Brady came around, who's the top five quarterback? Dan Marino's in that conversation every time, you know. So his career speaks for itself. The stats speak for itself. You know, he didn't make it. To be honest, we should have won a Super Bowl, but we didn't. But that's not just on him. That was a team thing, you know. It's 53 guys that go out there to try and win that special trophy, and we couldn't bring it back. So I hate that he didn't have, you know, that to put on his resume. The numbers he put up, the amount of Pro Bowls he's been to, you know, the classy guy he is on the field and off the field, besides the trash talking, you know, like he deserves to wear that jacket.
Yeah, I think he's going to one day. Marcus McNeil is with us, protected Phillip Rivers, blindside for the Chargers for many years. Marcus, last thing for me, Phillip Rivers, tremendous guy. We've heard about how great he was. You guys had interesting relationships, I'm assuming, offensive line to quarterback. What was the best present he ever bought you guys as an offensive line? And if you don't mind sharing, what was kind of the goofiest present he ever bought you as an offensive line?
Best present, easy. MacBook Air, he bought those when they first came out. That was pretty dope, you know, especially coming out of college and everything. Just having that brand new sleek Apple laptop was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then he got us some 12 gauges one time.
12 gauges?
with our names engraved on the side of some shotguns, man. But that was pretty cool. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That was pretty dope too. So you know, between those, man.
Go ahead, Marcus, go ahead.
No, but between those two, man, those are two that always stick out in my mind. And this shows you the type of guy he was, just to think about you at a special time of the year like that.
Absolutely. Well, before we let you get out of here, got to get your Super Bowl pick. Who you think's going to get there? Who you think's going to win it?
Oh, man, I really want Tom to get there because it was Super Bowl or bust. But I think I'm going to have to go with my dog, Scravy, who thought about it the other day and said it's going to be – the Green Bay versus KC game. It's going to be a State Farm shootout.
State Farm double check. That's right.
Well, Marcus, great catching up with you. Thanks so much for joining us. Always been fun. And continued good luck with the podcast. Two Pros and a Joe. Marcus McNeil, you can get it wherever you listen to your podcasts. And Marcus is a great guy, and I'm glad to hear you're doing well. Thanks for coming on the show. Good catching up with you, sir.
Hey, man, always, man. Look forward to doing it again. You guys have a great one.
We sure will. Marcus. Thank you, Marcus. Marcus McNeil right there, one of the great Charger offensive linemen who helped protect Philip Rivers.
Thank you, Chris.
I had to finish that sentence.
I was like, oh.
You cut me off, Scraby.
I didn't mean to, but thank you.
Yeah. Hey, we got a final score in that greatest basketball game ever played, Tony.
We did. Cavs run away with it in the second overtime. Sexton put up, what'd you say, 15 in the second overtime?
15 in just the second overtime. That's only 5 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
Scored 15.
Put in some work on old Kyrie there. They go ahead and win this game 147-135 in double OT.
Man.
Certainly some things that Brooklyn's got to figure out there. Defensively, 147 points is quite a bit. Even
that's
in double
a lot.
Overtime.
Durant had 38, Irving had 37, and James Harden had 21-12-10, triple-double. But
triple-double.
They also got an L.
Yeah.
To go along with it. By the way, Tony, why doesn't everybody foul with a three-point lead? And 2 seconds to go.
Right. Make them go to the free throw line. Well,
go to the free throw line.
They actually, Brooklyn tried that, but they didn't have enough fouls to get into the bonus. So they had, if they fouled again and somebody was taking a shot, I don't think they wanted to risk it. They fouled actually in that first overtime with about 4 or 5 seconds left.
Right. Because Sexton ended up hitting a three to send it to the second overtime with 1 second left. And I'm like, I wouldn't let him shoot the three. But
yeah.
I guess they couldn't stop it anyway.
Real quick before we get out of here, the Pac-12 has some news. They agree to part ways with Commissioner Larry Scott. Conference CEOs just finished meeting tonight. National search for new commissioner will begin immediately. So
you know what that's about in my mind?
The playoff?
No, just the fact that the Pac-12 is closer to the Mountain West than it is to being a Big 12 or a Big 10.
Yeah.
The Pac-12 is like, there's five major conferences, but really the Pac-12's kind of become make it 4.5 right now.
Do you think there's a part of the commissioners, I guess, the CEO commissioner, I guess, CEO commissioners, do you think there's a part of them that were upset that they couldn't even qualify for a chance at a playoff spot because they didn't have enough games in a lot of situations? They decided to play later than everybody else?
Yeah. I don't know. I like Larry Scott. I mean, he's tried his best to get the Pac-12 on the same level as the other four conferences, but those other four conferences are totally exclusionary. They don't want anybody to be part of it.
They're playing by a different set of rules, it seems like, too.
Yeah. The SEC and the ACC and the Big Ten especially, those three, they feel like they're in their own universe. And, you know, the Big 12 kind of keeps up with it because of Oklahoma and Kansas and basketball and Baylor. But Pac-12 just hasn't been able to keep up. I mean, USC, I'm not going to blame USC, but, I mean, that's the big gun that the Pac-12 has had, and they just haven't been as good as those other schools. And I think it's a shame. I mean, I really do. I wish college football and college sports were more inclusionary to all schools, but they're not.
Indeed, that does it for today's show. We'll be back at it tomorrow. Same time, same channel. You guys enjoy the rest of your night and be safe. Gwen and Chris signing off. Good night.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.